We're talking about your show, Steve, this morning on Country Music Television, Broken Skull Challenge. And what is your role in this show here? Tell the people about it if they haven't watched it and what they can expect in this season. You mentioned how you give these guys a platform here to show off their skills, but you do it in a way that, you know, is respectful and you're not exactly trash talking like your Stone Cold days.
No, you don't want to, I don't want to trash talk anybody out there. At the end of the day, you know, I'm recruiting athletes from all over the United States of America to come out there and do their best in physical competition. And it's not about me trying to sell a pay-per-view. It's about me trying to extract the best performance from a man or woman that comes out there. And we have three rounds of competition. I invite 80 elite athletes out every single week. If you win, you stick around. If you lose, you go home. At the end of the day, one person will be left standing. That person will come back the next day and take on the toughest obstacle course in the United States of America. It is called the Skull Buster. If you can beat that Skull Buster or beat my current time, then you will get $10,000. And we draw from the world of OCR racers, obstacle course racers, Spartan racers, Tough Mudder, all of that kind of stuff, AAU, collegiate wrestlers, firefighters, regular people come out there, but you better be a badass and you better be in shape. And that's what the show is all about. It's very simple. It's very efficient. It's very fast and it's very badass.
All right. Well, saw some badass things last night at the pay-per-view No Mercy, and you were certainly a badass in your day as well. My takeaway from last night, what is working right now in this tag team division is Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, those two dudes. I'd love to see them unite with Roman Reigns again and bring back the Shield. You've talked about Roman Reigns in the past. You believe WWE is doing a good job with developing his character. He's one of the most polarizing figures out there. Do you think it was good having him beat John Cena last night, and what do you expect for him in the future?
Well, I think he's still learning, but I think the right call was to beat John Cena just like he did last night. That is the only match I saw on that card. I heard the tag team match was really, really good as well. You know, he still has work to do. I mean, he really hasn't been around that long yet, so he's drastically improved. And, yeah, you've got to do business. Cena, you know, got beat, and Roman won. After a hellacious exchange there towards the finish, you know, that match started off a little slow, but it built up and turned into a real monster. I thought it was pretty damn good.
Absolutely. What was pretty damn good was your feud with Triple H. I was reading online this morning that on September 25th, 2000, it was the Raw where Triple H denied running you over. What was that feud like, and was he your favorite person to feud with? Was it The Rock? Was it Vince McMahon? Or did they all have kind of their special moments?
They all had their special moments. I always liked working with Paul just because we were really on the same page as far as what was going on in the ring. And he's kind of a ring general, and so am I. So we just clicked, and we're looking to have the best match that we could. Obviously, feuding with The Rock and the one and only Bret the Hitman Hart. And the feud that kind of transcended the business, which would have been my feud versus Mr. McMahon for, you know, give or take about 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, those were all very fun things to do. Mick Foley, The Undertaker, all the great guys that I was able to wrestle. When you look back to those days, you know, we had some guys aren't in yet, but that whole locker room damn near will be in the Hall of Fame by the time it's said and done.
Absolutely. Now, we're talking about a couple Hall of Famers here that have been Raw general managers in Kurt Angle, currently Foley before him. Any shot that we could see you as a general manager and in a role where you're on a regular appearance back in the WWE in the near future?
No, we did a general manager way back in the day when I was working with Eric Bischoff.
And
we had a great time doing that and had a lot of chemistry. I think they're doing real good. I loved when Mick Foley was doing it, and now that Kurt Angle's doing it, he's tremendous. I've got my, you know, eyes and you know, my time focused on other projects, so I don't know that I'd have the time to do that. I think they're heading in a great direction, heading the way they are.
As far as Seth Rollins, I mentioned him before as well. I'd like to see him go back to being a heel. I think he might like to be going back to being a heel. Do you see that potentially happening? And also with you, is it tougher to be a heel than to be a face?
Well, I like being a heel rather than a face. And then, you know, when I end up turning, you know, I had a monster run as a baby face. That was a baby face, you know, with a lot of edge and a very defined character. I think that Seth Rollins got a little bit lost once he had that knee injury a couple of years ago and they brought him back. and the crowd wanted him to turn babyface, and they, you know, kept him heel, and so he could have had an organic turn there. So he fought the tide for a long time, and then fast forward through another injury, and now with the storyline of him and Dean Ambrose burying the hatchet and get together, I think it's been great for both of them. It's been a boost to both of their careers. Down the road, you know, right now as a team, they're a great babyface tag team, but certainly down the road. And in my opinion, I like Seth better as a heel than a baby, just because he has more of an edge.
And one heel that's got an edge and has been an incredible promo guy this past year is The Miz. Did you get a chance to work with him at all? And what do you think about his rise? He's probably had one of the best last 12 months out of any wrestler on the roster.
Well, what I like about The Miz is he's so prepared, and he's just taken such good care of his character and gimmick, and he lives that and breathes that 24/7. And he's one of the hardest working guys on the roster. If you had a lot of other guys out on the roster that were working as hard as The Miz, you'd have a lot more guys on the roster that are higher up on the card and over to a more degree with the audience. You know, Miz, I give Miz a ton of credit. He does more, and I mean this as a compliment, but he does more with less as far as physical attributes than almost everybody on that roster. And so when he lights up a microphone, mister, everybody listens because he's that damn good. And he's really, really good in the ring as well. But he is just the picture of how hard you want a superstar to work to get to the top of WWE. He is on all the time.
One last question for you. If you had to give one exercise to athletes out there that they want to participate in your Broken Skull Challenge, one thing in the gym, whether it's deadlifts, whether it's running up incline, what would you say the best thing to do to just build overall strength if they wanted to get in your Broken Skull Challenge?
I tell you what, man, those athletes out there turned me on to the burpee, and I've become a burpee fanatic along with all the other strength and weight training that I do. You start stringing out numbers and numbers of those things, and they will whip your ass into all kinds of shape. And before I leave, man, I want to say shout out to that Washington defense that opened up a can last night. That was a stellar performance, and Kirk Cousins and those receivers as well.